We don't like covering every conspiracy theory. We're an internet show, so that's where a lot of these things cook. 28,000 tweets last night, I think, within the first hour after the game. Hashtag NFL is rigged. NFL rigged is trending or whatever. And it's all because of how bad the officiating is. Schefter, your thoughts on this and how they can make it right? And is the NFL rigged, Schefty? And don't lie to us.
Well, Pat, breaking. It's not rigged.
No! Put it on the ticker.
Yeah, put it on there. Not rigged. Adam Schefter's reporting it's not rigged, okay?
Adam Schefter with the Pat McAfee Show. The NFL is not rigged. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, the game. Before we get to our guests, text the keyword Belmont, B-E-L-M-O-N-T, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a pair of courtside seats to see the Belmont Bruins women's basketball team take on the Murray State Racers in the Missouri Valley Conference at the Curb Event Center on Thursday, February 2nd. So just a couple days away. Text Belmont to 615-737-1025 now, and you can sit courtside for that game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Kieser. Junie Riddle is in studio with us. One half of Michelle and Junie, Saturdays 9 to 11 here on 1025-1063, the game. And you're a passionate football fan, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I've watched games with you before. It's entertaining. I watch you more than I watch the actual game.
It is pretty entertaining.
It's good. Especially, I remember watching the, I think it was the first game of the season, the Steelers and the Bengals. You were losing your mind.
Well, I mean, I think any casual fan who actually watched that game and saw all that took place, you know, went down to the last minute, a couple missed field goals to block extra point to go to OT. I mean, yeah, I mean, anybody in their right mind who's a fan of either of those teams were probably going just as crazy. But yeah, I am a very passionate fan, but when it comes to takes that I put out there, I do not put my bias into it.
Yeah.
I really don't. And something, because we were talking on Friday about this matchup with Cincinnati and Kansas City.
And I missed this conversation, but I heard about it, so I am excited.
I know, I know. I probably
Ricky, you better be listening.
I probably gave it to Ricky a little too much on Friday night. So,
he's
Ricky,
a big boy,
do apologize.
Chase is like,
but,
yeah,
you know, I always like to have good fun with Cincinnati because Cincinnati and Pittsburgh had some great games and great rivalries when I grew up. But going into this game, you told me, you're like, Junie, look at this game. Why are you picking the Chiefs? You need to take your steel curtain off your eyes. And what did I tell you? I said, it's not that. It's really not a bias. Everything is telling me that this Cincinnati Bengals team is the better team. But I couldn't pick them because, number one, Mahomes has lost the last three games to this team when having a fourth quarter lead. And on top of that, Cincinnati just got a huge win in Buffalo, and they were talking a lot of smack. All right?
They were.
And I just felt them going to Arrowhead. I've been to Arrowhead Stadium. I know what it's like.
Too.
It's the loudest stadium in the world, and you're gonna mock that place and that crowd with what they can get down and do. I just thought they set themselves up for failure. Eli Apple, what he was saying, the mayor and his little joke snippet, it all added up. And I just did not think that Mahomes, after all that, was going to go 0-4 and lose a second straight AFC championship at home. I just didn't think so.
Yeah. And Eli Apple sucks anyway.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's not very good. But, yeah, no, I get it. And you know, counting Mahomes out, what did you think of the officiating? We haven't gotten your thoughts. I mean, you know, I know, I think now that a few days have passed, people are calming down on it a little bit. But, I mean, there were definitely some missed calls.
There was a lot of overreaction, I felt like. I went through and I watched the game over again this morning. And I took notes. And I felt as if a lot of the calls that people were complaining about were a little bit overhyped. So let's get started with the first big one. And that was the one where it was the third down and the clock management team was kind of messing things up. There is a camera angle on the all 22 where you can see one of the referees that was downfield in the secondary was trying to run in and stop the play. Because they were trying to cancel the play because the clock was running. It, you know, it shouldn't have been running. It was a dead ball play, and they were trying to cut off the play because the clock had started while they were still in the huddle. So they were trying to do that. So I get that, you know, it kind of stinks if you're a Bengals fan watching that, like, oh, we just got to stop, and that play was negated. But they did try and stop the play because of a legitimate issue with the clock. That's number one. Let's go to the intentional groundings.
On that call really quick, it's if people didn't go back and watch, the reason it got blown up so much is because people didn't go back and watch and see it, and then they just thought in the moment, what's happening, and the broadcast didn't do it any justice as well. But if you go back, like you said you did this morning, because I have too, you can clearly see a ref running, waving
with his hands up, like before the snap, he was trying to stop the play, and it just didn't get there. And on top of that, you know, they got an extra third down, they got the penalty and a first down on that second chance. But what did they do with it? They did absolutely nothing. It was on their side of the field. They hadn't even crossed midfield yet, and they punted the ball away. So I don't really necessarily see the big hoorah over about that in the conspiracy. The second big call that a lot of people are complaining about is Joe Burrow's intentional grounding, which by definition—
I've eased up on that.
It is intentional grounding. I mean—
Rexford called Chase out.
It was like, I mean, he was in the pocket. He may have taken two steps away from where he initially planted his foot, but he threw the ball behind the line. It was nowhere near P. Ryan, who was the closest receiver there. I mean, he was 3 or 4 yards across the line of scrimmage, whereas the ball didn't even make it to the line of scrimmage. And the penalty itself is to try and make sure the quarterback just doesn't throw the ball on the ground to avoid a sack, because if he hadn't, he was going to get sacked, which is why the penalty is there in the first place. Okay? So Cincinnati had two opportunities when the game was tied at 20 points apiece, one of which Joe Burrow threw his second interception of the game into double coverage downfield, which was, you know, again, he is probably the most accurate quarterback in the league, but that's not a smart decision that you want to do on a third and short play. And then again,
they did that play twice, Ja'Marr Chase and then to T. Higgins. I do not understand that. It was 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 3.
Yes, and so they get the ball again with 2 minutes left to go, and again, they can't capitalize on it, and they have to punt with under a minute left to go. So a lot of people were complaining about the punt return on Sky Moore. I went back and I watched it about 3 or 4 times. I saw one play on there, or one block on that play, to where you could have seen, you know what, that potentially could be block in the back. But if you look at the different angle when they show the replay, the guy is running behind the tackler, all right? And then he eases up, puts his hands up, and it's almost as if he's doing a basketball screen. I don't think he went in and actually pushed the defender who's trying to cover the punt. So there's that one as well. And they did call a Sky Moore punt back earlier in the game when he had a big return that set them up in field goal range as well. So I would say out of everything, the one thing that Bengals fans can get upset about is on the final play when Patrick Mahomes is scrambling. There are two clear holdings, but that's also the same penalty where he got hit late. So, I mean, what are you going to do? 8 seconds left. They're right across midfield, and those penalties would have been negated anyway. So it would have basically been replay the down.
And based on what I said yesterday, I mean, you know, there's a hold on every play, as we know, and if it's a tight playoff game, only call the ones that are egregious. The hit out of bounds was the right call. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
I
thought Junie was gonna say that, and I've heard people say, you know, well, he was running so fast and he pushed him. Okay, but if you're the ref standing there and you don't call that, that needs to be like the unfortunate truth. Yeah, it didn't look like the guy was trying to shove him or intentionally hurt Mahomes. He was trying to make a play.
Yeah,
trying to do. But you can't do that. You can't do it. And it should have been called. So for people freaking out over that, and I have a theory that, you know, people, you know, they wanted the Bengals to win and a little bit of Chiefs fatigue. But it's not like we had some outrageous call like the Rams call
Jared
years
said that
ago.
Yesterday. Jared said that yesterday on his show, that it was the closest thing to that.
Oh, no.
And I laughed out loud. I mean, that's one of the most blatant open calls that literally changed the outcome of that game, because the Saints were on the verge of scoring a touchdown and outright winning that game instead of tying. I mean, the fact that people are stooping to that level, it's just right now Joe Burrow is the hot guy in the league. Like, he's the guy that everybody's trying to anoint the new king of the NFL, and it seemed like it was destiny for Cincinnati to go back to the Super Bowl, and they didn't. And people are upset about that because a lot of people went with Cincinnati in this game. I did not. I still think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I didn't think he was losing two AFC championships at home to the same team that everybody was anointing that was better than them. I mean, NFL Network on their pregame show, when they were listing out, you know, which team has the better position group, put Cincinnati having the better quarterback on top of all the smack that the Bengals were talking before this game. It was inevitable. The Chiefs were the more physical team. They played harder. They wanted it more. Patrick Mahomes outplayed Joe Burrow no matter what anybody wants to say, and the Chiefs are the deserving team.
On one freaking leg.
And he was missing his top three receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, and Kadarius Toney in that game.
And the ironic part of it, too, is, you know, talk about all the calls, the officiating, whatever. Joe Burrow had the opportunity with 2 minutes left in the game to take his team down the field. And if roles were reversed and that was Patrick Mahomes, probably would have scored a touchdown. I can feel pretty confident and that probably would happen. But people aren't putting any of this on Joe Burrow and the fact that Cincinnati – they had the opportunity to have the last possession of the
game.
Easily. Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't able to capitalize off of it. But you know when there's 40 seconds on the clock, Mahomes is going to score. Doesn't matter if he doesn't have his top three receivers. He's going to figure out a way to get points on the board and win the game.
I mean, they did it with 13 seconds left in the Buffalo Bills divisional round game last year. Why is this a shock to people?
Like, I just don't get why people aren't putting really any of the loss. And don't get me wrong, Joe Burrow did make some incredible plays. I think he's an absolutely incredible quarterback, but nobody's talking about the two interceptions he threw.
Look, those were bad. And I think you made a really good point that I think people are ignoring. Mahomes had nobody to throw to on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, he had nobody to throw to.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling had over 100 yards. He was the number one receiver on the day because of all the injuries.
Which, what?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that was.
Exactly. And not to mention this, and if people really want to think the refs got involved, the refs took a Chiefs touchdown off the board in the first quarter. Pacheco scored on a running play, and they called a holding call that backed the Chiefs up, and they ended up having to take three. I mean, if the refs really wanted the Chiefs in this game, there would have been a lot more opportunities to allow them to go forward. And I would say the refs were more on the Cincinnati favor until it got into the fourth quarter.
We'll have more with Junie coming up next because I have a feeling there's just more, you know, discussion. And plus comments of Travis Kelce as well. That is all next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party!
I knew he was gonna be up for one more of those.
Said enough about the Cincinnati mayor. It was Cincinnati was a better city when Jerry Springer was a mayor.
That's Travis Kelce. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Junie Riddle in the house. Michelle Knezovic, of course. They are Michelle and Junie Saturdays from 9 to 11 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The reporter Nick Keyser behind the glass. So here's what I will say about that whole thing. My favorite part was Jim Nance is like, we're out of time, we got to go. But the look on his face is like, what the hell is this guy going to say? Like, I have no idea what he's going to say. and then he basically pays, you know, homage to The Rock, which was fantastic.
Straight out of the Attitude Era in WWF.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, both Brett Kern was on yesterday from the Eagles, their punter. And I asked him, I said, look, Who's crazier, your Kelce or their Kelce? And he started laughing. He goes, I think they're both right there together.
He's like, they're definitely cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
But I thought that was incredible. I loved when Travis Kelce grabbed the mic. And I was worried for whoever was in the production truck in charge of dumping if they were to swear on TV or something, because their hand must have been over that when Travis Kelce just went, give me the mic.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's like what I meant, like with Jim Nance's look of like, what is he going to say? But
even the owner of the Chiefs behind him was kind of like,
Clark Hunt,
yeah, no, their eyes were kind of bold a little bit when he went over there and grabbed the mic. But I think it was great. It like I said, it just goes to what I say. You know, when you put these things out there, you know, this is bulletin board material for teams. Yeah. And I think, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots were always one of those that anything that they could grab onto and use as an emotional edge in a game, they took it personally. And they went out and, like I said, they were the more assertive and physical team throughout the game.
So what do you think about the matchup with the Eagles? I know a lot of people want to say, well, you know, look at the Eagles' schedule. And, yeah, they didn't play elite quarterbacks. I mean, it, you know, but they won the games. It's a tough league. And so they've earned this spot. But now I think this is by far going to be their biggest test going up against the Chiefs.
No, I agree with you. They did not play a lot of talented teams, I would say, outside of their division. But here's the thing about the Philadelphia Eagles that I've liked, and I've liked since the beginning of the year. I mean, they have a platoon system for their defensive line. Like, even their backup defensive linemen could be starters for most teams. Mm-hmm. And then you also look at their offensive line. Whenever these guys get first and 10 and they get four cracks to get into the end zone and they're pushing guys 3-4 yards up the field and they're just running the ball. Jalen Hurts only threw for 121 yards. Like, he didn't need to really show out in this game. So, I mean, regardless of what you think about the talent that they've played, these guys have 70-plus sacks, which is top five all-time for a defensive unit in a season. And they're going to get after Mahomes and company. And especially with Mahomes and his lack of mobility at the moment, they can really contain and keep him in the pocket and kind of limit what he's able to do. So, you know, regardless of them playing a big-time quarterback this year, I think this is the Super Bowl matchup that most people wanted to see. I think it was the best one. I think if the Niners got in, I'm not necessarily sure that they would have put up a lot of points in the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. And if the Bengals were to get in and face the Eagles, I don't think that that offensive line could have held up against this defensive line. I think Mahomes is going to put up a lot of points regardless, and I think the Eagles are going to hang in there with how stacked this roster is.
I think this is going to be we're going to see just how good Jalen Hurts really is. You know, can he hang with the big boys and sit at that table, or is he going to be just a tick below the elite quarterbacks in the NFL? We're going to find out.
I think it's still to be determined with him. You know, he came in towards the end of the 2020 season, and he showed a little bit of promise. And last year, took that team 9-8, made the playoffs. They were pretty competitive with Brady and the Bucks last season on the road. But you know, ultimately, like you said, this is going to really solidify, you know, where he's at. Is he going to be in that second tier, or does he want to be in that first tier? And I feel like even though Mahomes is going up, which, you know, I think is the second best defense in the league, you know, he's going to put up points. He always does. And if Hurts can match him point for point in this game, it's going to say a lot. But going forward, you know, this is going to have a huge impact on how we view Jalen Hurts, is if he wins the Super Bowl.
What if he wins MVP, though? But, oh, just kidding. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. But what if he beats Patrick Mahomes? And I feel like when you talk about, you know, elite quarterbacks, we were talking about this morning, and the way I view it is you have your guys who are just in their own category. Like, I put Patrick Mahomes, I put Joe Burrow, and I put them together. And then you have, like, they're just on a different level as far as, you know, some of the plays they're able to make and the throws. And then you take a step down and you have I put Brady up there too, and Rodgers. So those four. So Brady and Rodgers are the old ones. No offense, guys. And then Patrick Mahomes and Burrow. And then that next tier, I put Jalen Hurts in there. I put him as, you know, I mean, what he's been able to do this year, and I know you can say he has the perfect roster around him, but I think sometimes people take it away from him a little bit of, I mean, he's in the MVP conversation for a reason.
No, absolutely.
And I think he's always been, you know, people have always viewed him as the underdog, right? You think of he gets his starting job taken away from him on national television, right? And Tua takes over, and then he stays with the team the next year and, you know, is a backup and he's supportive. And then he goes to Oklahoma and he gets himself to the Heisman ceremony, right? But he's always been viewed as the underdog. And then he's a second round pick. And then, okay, he goes to the Eagles, Nick Sirianni, like, okay, makes the playoffs, but Tom Brady knocks him out of there. Okay, well, and this year, okay, you give him an A.J. Brown. And you have just seen a huge leap from last year to this year. But I still feel like people view him as, he's not really up there. But, I mean, he's done more than, I know Lamar Jackson got the MVP, but, I mean, he's taken his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, and what the Eagles did this offseason was absolutely brilliant. You know, their offense was a little bit banged up, like Kelce and Lane Johnson, I think Lane Johnson's the best right tackle in the NFL mm-hmm. right now. You know, they were both in and out of the lineup last year. Lane Johnson, I think he missed significant time. I don't have the exact number, but he was out. You know, Devontae Smith was a rookie, and they didn't have another, you know, passing weapon outside of Goddard there. And so when you put the offensive line together, and I think overall they had the best offensive line in the league, you go and get an A.J. Brown, you solidify the secondary, you go get depth on the defensive line, and cumulatively they have just been bullying people on the line of scrimmage, which is how you win football games. You collaborate that with a really talented secondary. They go out and get Bradbury, and they go get C.J. Gardner-Johnson from the Saints, and he tied the NFL with 6 interceptions this year. So they got playmakers in the defensive backfield. They got wide receivers and weapons, and then along with Jalen Hurts and Sanders in the run game, I mean, they just have the complete package. And I think when you look at the Super Bowl, it's going to come down to, can Hurts make those throws that we've been seeing him make? I mean, it's not just him passing to wide open guys. He is throwing guys open and on the money in high-level NFL caliber throws, which is something that completely shocked me this season. I just didn't think that he had that in his arsenal.
Junie, good stuff. We'll be listening on Saturday 9 to 11, but you're going to be in here for me Thursday and Friday. So it'll be you and Michelle.
It'll be Michelle and Junie weekday edition.
Yeah, there you go.
Same time.
Thursday,
same time.
Friday, and Saturday. Listen, you can tune in.
Same bat time, same bat channel. That's before your time. But, yeah, good to see you, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Junie Riddle, check him out, 9 to 11 Saturdays alongside Michelle. Coming up next, unfortunately, Joe Fortenbaugh had to reschedule, so we hope to have him next week. But we'll get into some early Super Bowl odds and thoughts. Coming up next, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.